This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With a new leader, UTSA is looking at new goals and new directions. Taylor Amy has been president at UTSA, UT University of Texas at San Antonio, for 6 months, and he's adopted aspirations for UTSA that extend beyond Tier 1 designation. He's looking to harness the transformational power of higher education to bring academic success and upward mobility to first-generation and low-income students. We're joined by President Amy this hour on The Source, and welcome.
Pleasure to be on The Source. I enjoy the show. It's good to be here. Looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. And the conversation is with the community, so our phone lines are open. If you've got questions and comments, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. So let's open up with a question we got on our voicemail line.
I do have a question for our president. I'd like to know how he intends to keep and retain faculty members when salary for professors are amongst the lowest in the academic market. And very specifically, I would like to know how he intends to retain Hispanic professors when Hispanic professors at UTSA get the lowest paid salary at UTSA. Thank you very much.
Okay, so not a softball off the top. We're going to go straight to the meat of the issue. So some people are wondering, what are you going to do for the faculty? And is there really a pay gap with Latino professors?
We, our current provost, Molly Agrawal, is finishing up a salary survey of all of our faculty by faculty rank, and we're going to be looking at that discrepancy if there is one. I have not heard about it, but we elected to pull that analysis together, so we have that data,
and we need to figure out what the reality is. If that's right out there, if people believe that to right be true, we got to figure out, you know, whether to put that to bed or deal with it.
So we don't know the exact situation, but looking at it from 40,000 feet, I've launched an initiative around diversity and inclusion, and it's going to very much look at how we as an institution elect to be diverse in our faculty, staff, and our students, and how we go about enabling that and ensuring that we have an inclusive culture. So we're going to be we've actually just completed a diversity and inclusion survey for faculty and staff. We're about to launch one for students. We have some student activities that are going to further inform us. Once all three of those initiatives have been completed, we're going to have a body of things that have to be looked at and addressed. And I imagine that our hiring practices, our approaches to retaining faculty, our approaches to recruiting diverse faculty and making sure they remain in our candidate pools are all going to be things that we tackle. And part of it is going to go along with this notion of how do we compensate our folks appropriately. I would say this, too, that one of the things that we really have to address for UTSA is our our financial approaches to managing our resources. And we have a big effort on campus right now about looking at a sort of a devolved, distributed model where colleges have more autonomy about revenue generation and expense control, and that's going to give the colleges more authority to raise funds and to manage funds. And in that kind of environment, you tend to get better opportunities for supporting faculty and doing good things with faculty lines. So all of this is in play and very much on my mind, along with obviously many other things that we're paying attention to at UTSA right now.
So let's brief people on who you are. As the president of the University of Texas at San Antonio, you are the head of one of the most dominant institutions that we have in the city. And you, the success of San Antonio is directly tied to the success of the university. And people who aren't even really connected to the school are going to feel what you do, and I look to you for want your success.
Sure, there's a lot of discussion going on right now in the city about the city's future and the development of downtown. And I've had the distinct pleasure to chat with hundreds of folks about it, from the chambers to elected officials to business leaders to NGOs to community members, and there's just a great deal of interest about how UTSA evolves and what it becomes and how that can help further the development of San Antonio as a great city. And so our purpose is deeply connected to the city, and the city is obviously deeply connected to us, it's in some ways, as we become a wonderful, what we call R1 Carnegie designated research university, the city of San Antonio is in some ways our living laboratory. We have lots of grand challenges here in San Antonio that we can help with, and we can turn our discovery enterprise and our community engagement enterprise, we can connect that to the challenges that the city has, and we can help provide solutions.
Well, tell us more about you, President Amy.
I grew up in the greater Boston area in New England and have strong roots there. And the city of Boston's a powerful model for me. It's a city that's maybe 75 years older than San Antonio, but and it what's unique there, it has about 8 wonderful R1, Carnegie R1 research universities, and it's not quite as big as San Antonio. It's actually, I don't know, probably half as big. And my sense, and what I've been chatting with folks here, is that San Antonio deserves a number of R1 universities. I'd like to think that we're going to be the first, but I hope Texas A&M San Antonio continues to grow and do well. The city is big enough, and the demand for great universities in this city is high enough that we need to have more higher ed success here in San Antonio.
But you are also, you've been in the classroom. And what did you teach?
Yeah, so I got into my current role by, at a very tender age as an undergrad at Tufts University in Boston. I was exposed to undergraduate research by a faculty mentor who took me under his wing, and that had a very powerful effect on me and my future, and it led me to Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. It then led me to graduate school, and then led me to a faculty position and a role as eventually a senior administrator at 3 different institutions as a chief research officer. So it's amazing those events that can happen as an undergrad that can be transformational to an individual, and I'd like to think that every one of our undergraduates at UTSA is going to have a chance to have those kinds of opportunities. So,
and your area of expertise, your research was in environment?
Yeah, I was an environmental engineer for my master's and my PhD. I was a biologist as an undergrad, and I spent most of my academic career as a researcher on the research side and in the classroom in this field of environmental engineering, working on contaminants and waste management and waste reuse, things like that.
And as someone who has been part of the sciences, do you think that is important when we look towards the future of UTSA?
Well, I think that helps, but I appreciate the arts immensely. I love poetry. Pablo Neruda is my favorite poet. And if you had a chance observe what transpired at my inauguration, that was a sort of a celebration of music, and we have the best music department I've ever seen. And great universities have a diversity of excellence, and the things that are done in the creative arts and social sciences are just as important at the end of the day in contributing to society as the STEM disciplines are.
And what we've seen through some research into the earning potential of the graduates at UTSA, it's people who come out with science degrees and engineering are doing really well. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from this break. If you've got a question or a comment for the new president of UTSA, Taylor Amy, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Whether you be a student, a potential student, a faculty member, alumni, this is your chance to ask the questions. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The University of Texas at San Antonio is a multicultural institution. It is an enterprise with nearly 31,000 students. It's the largest university in the San Antonio metropolitan region. And we're visiting with the new president of UTSA, Taylor Amy. He's been there now for 6 months. He's got a strategic plan looking to develop downtown San Antonio campus and also a boost of potentials for first-generation and low-income students. Give us a call if you've got a question or comment. The number is 210-614-8980. And so, President Amy, tell me more about how you plan to reach out to some of San Antonio's like first-generation and low-income students.
Yeah. As a public institution here in this city, I think both Texas A&M, San Antonio, and UTSA have an obligation to connect with and make available the opportunities, the educational opportunities that we both provide as institutions. And I call it the prosperity quotient. There's clear evidence that If you have a chance to attend high school and graduate, there's an impact. If you have a chance to attend a two-year program and graduate, there's a greater impact. If you have a chance to get a four-year degree, there's an even greater impact. And I'm a firm believer and an advocate for this notion that education is the key to individual and family prosperity. And we have this immense prosperity differential, this income disparity here in San Antonio, that I think one of the best ways to tackle that is to unleash the power of education and help individuals and families realize their potential. So we have very strong programs in how we connect with the ISDs here in San Antonio and how we recruit within San Antonio, but how we work with the ISDs around preparation programs for students that are going to be coming to UTSA. The notion of our taking advantage of an individual's 4 years or 5 years or 6 years of time with us and not worrying about what's upstream in the K through 12 program or what's happening downstream after folks graduate from our institution. I think we're going to have to start looking at this notion of that Nancy Zimpfer, the former chancellor at SUNY State University of New York system, coined. It's this notion of cradle to career. We're not going to be as successful as an undergraduate educational enterprise or even as a discovery enterprise unless we pay much closer attention to what's happening in our school systems at the K through 12 level, and then what happens when our students are ready to go out and join the workforce and contribute to society.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980, and Craig is on the line. Craig, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, and congratulations on your new role at the university. My question is on behalf of the military spouses in the community. The city of San Antonio and the Chamber of Commerce just announced about a month ago that San Antonio would be the first military spouse economic empowerment zone, with more to be announced around the country this summer. No specifics were announced yet, but I think there's a real opportunity for the colleges in the area to partner with that program. There are a lot of companies in San Antonio that advertise and market themselves as military and spouse friendly, but the reality is they have jobs that pay $10 an hour for spouses that have masters and PhDs. My question is, how will you partner with the city, the Chamber of Commerce, to take advantage of these spouses that are overqualified, overeducated for a lot of the jobs that are available in this city? Thank you.
Craig, thank you for that great question. So, President Amy.
Craig, thanks. I'm not aware of this program, but I'm glad you've brought it to my attention. I would say that UTSA has a real reputation within the military community about being a university that provides great service to our enlisted folks and our veterans. The number that sticks in my head is that we have probably 3,500 students at UTSA right now that are related to veterans or are active service or just retired from the military. So we have a very strong presence. We have three different programs on our campus that are supportive of our veterans and active duty folks who are attending UTSA. The opportunity to take advantage of this today, given the fact that we're the military city, is something that we need to advance. If you look at the growth projections for populations here in San Antonio, part of the projections are going to come from retirees and their families moving here to San Antonio who are going to be interested in contributing. And this notion of having folks come in and serve as instructors or adjuncts who can help in some of our academic programs is a very intriguing idea. We have a very active employment process at the university where we work to hire folks who are in the community, and they're all everybody's encouraged to come to the website and look at that. It's where we offer the jobs that are out there that the community can apply to and come and work at UTSA. Those are all things that we should be doing. But I think engaging the chamber about how we could take advantage of this, engaging the San Antonio Economic Development Foundation about how we could take advantage of this, and working with the city and county would be a very logical thing to help position the city, given the prominence of the military here. So I'm going to follow up on that and chat with folks at the chambers and chat with folks at City Hall and with the county leadership and see what we can do. That's a good question.
So it seems like the local military pool that we have in San Antonio is something that would be, I mean, these are people who are highly motivated, they're focused, they already have learned how to achieve success, they're goal-driven. These are the people that that would seem like, we get them into those classrooms, get them that degree from UTSA and watch them soar.
Yeah, we have very active ROTC programs on campus. We have Air Force and Army, and the students there are fabulous. They're very motivated. Let me step back. We're in the midst of a strategic enrollment management planning effort, and we have a very large push towards that, and we're going to be developing a strategy to grow enrollment at the university, and we're going to be looking at all of the opportunities that exist within San Antonio around future college-going individuals, whether it's kids coming out of high school or charter schools or private schools, or whether it's individuals that want to come back and get a second degree or finish a degree or reconnect with a university around this learning opportunity, if you think about lifelong learning. So the military fraction of the population here is significant, and I'm going to bet that that's going to be a big part of our enrollment management as we look to the future.
Back to the phones. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to speak with President Amy of UTSA and Virginia. Hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with President Amy.
Hi, President Amy. I wanted to ask if, as you say, you would like to increase the standing of UTSA in the city and in the state and nationally as an R1 university, my understanding is that you, under your watch, you've overseen taking away the funding for UTSA to sponsor the Texas State Science and Engineering Fair, which was just held last weekend at the Convention Center. And since it serves as such an incubator for attracting the best and the brightest in the state as far as STEM students and researchers, why would you take away the funding to sponsor that state fair?
Okay. Amy, thank you for the call. And President Amy.
Yeah, thanks for that question. I'm not aware of our decision to do that. I'm betting that was a decision that was made at the perhaps the college level. Those kinds of programs are very important to us, and we have a very active strategy to engage the community about how we support young people who are interested in coming to UTSA, and STEM disciplines are obviously very important. First-gen students are obviously very important. So we have a numerous strategies that we've employed to put out there that are meant to support those kinds of things. And so I'll follow up on that. I was not aware that we had done that.
And you've been there 6 months. These types of decisions have been made, you know, further up in the academic, sure, in the front, in the calendar. So, but I know that you went out with Shirley Gonzalez, a district councilwoman from District 5, looking to get the word out in the West Side about UTSA downtown growth and trying to reach out to first-generation students.
Yeah. As we think about the downtown campus, we're envisioning that in the next 10 years, its enrollment is going to go to about 15,000 students. It's less than 5,000 presently. And we have almost three colleges located downtown right now. We have a College of Public Policy, a College of Architecture and Construction Management, and then most of the College of Education. And we're thinking about adding schools and institutes that would be located downtown. We're thinking about perhaps moving another college downtown. What we're thinking is that the location that we have in the city is connected both to the west side, the near west side, and to downtown, and how we develop that campus in concert with the community is going to say a lot about the fact that we could have an autonomous campus downtown that's self-functioning. You go there, you take classes there, you live there, you create a residential environment around the downtown campus. And all of that, I think, is going to have an impact on the near west side. And so our opportunities to spend time with the councilwoman were really for me to better understand her district and what her district is interested in with regards to how the campus is developed and what it offers the community. And we think it's one of our best ways to connect to the community. And I go back to this notion of economic prosperity and the impact of education. Imagine if you had a campus of 15,000 students down there that's deeply connected to the west side, the near west side. And that's what we were exploring last Friday when we drove around the city that morning.
So the downtown campus, there's not a lot of available space to grow. You're going to have to find the city has a lot of land around it for municipal courts and things like that. You're going to have to swap or do something to get that land.
Well, we have enough property that we control right now to, if we wanted to, we could develop another 2 million square feet of property if we go vertical. But we are very interested in property nearby and whether it can be acquired or donated. We are paying attention to that. And I think we're going to end up with a distributed campus downtown. We might have on our core property where we have our quad, we might have significant development there. But we're interested in exploring buildings that are going to be on the near west side and towards downtown. And we're using as a model the Arizona State University Phoenix campus, which is their autonomous downtown campus. And it's residential, it has dormitories, it has livability, and it has something like four or five colleges and a whole bunch of transdisciplinary schools and institutes. And we're using that as a model for where we're going with the downtown campus.
But UTSA does have property at Hemisphere at the Institute of Texas Cultures, Texan Cultures. Any plans for that?
Yeah, right now we're looking very carefully about what to do with the institute. It sits on 14 acres there, and there's a lot of interest in that property. But the institute has been around for 50 years now and had a very important role in the Hemisphere project when that was launched back in the 60s, and that was very transformational to the city of San Antonio. We don't know what the best plan for the institute is going forward. It presently is in a building that costs a lot to operate. The state funding that has come into the institute to support it was cut last year, and that's a special item, and special items are under review right now by a special committee of the legislature, and we don't know what the status of that funding is going to be in the future. So we have to be prepared for a number of possibilities as we think about what to do with the institute. So I'm going to be hiring a museum consultant and working with the advisory board of the institute, and we'll be doing a deep dive on what are the best possible plans for how we manage the institute going forward.
Have you walked through the institute?
I have, many times.
What do you think?
it's an impressively large building. I think that there are elements of it that are very critical to the history and the evolution, the cultural evolution of the city. It's rather a unique collection in that much of the focus of it has to do with the cultures that were brought into the city over the last 300 years. Yeah, and it's not like it's your traditional museum or a very experiential kind of museum for science and natural history. There's stories to be told inside of an institute like that, and how you capture that story or those incredible collection of stories is really a special art, and it's something that needs to be reinvigorated, I think, as we move forward as a city. So we have work to do there. We don't know what we're going to be doing with it exactly.
It's prime real estate.
It is.
All right, so we're going to take another break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about what's happening with the University of Texas at San Antonio in the classroom, on the campus, outside, all over San Antonio. We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Are you a roadrunner? Where do you want that road to take you? Give us a call. The Source continues after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Here are some fast facts about UTSA, established in 1969. The enrollment is 30,674. There are 160 degree programs. The local economic impact, $1.2 billion. We're speaking with the president of UTSA this afternoon, Taylor Amy, and we invite your calls. Number is 210-614-8980, and Will is on the line. Hi, Will. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is where the president stands on the current situation we have with our universities all over the country stifling conservative speech and not allowing open discussion on both sides of the aisle.
Okay, Will, thank you for the call. President Amy.
Will, thank you. I was just looking at some data the other day about UTSA and how it's ranked by FIRE. FIRE is a not-for-profit that pays close attention to free speech protocols and policies on university campuses, and we had we had a pretty good rating from them. And a number of the institutions in the University of Texas system also had equivalent good ratings relative to this notion of adhering to the First Amendment and the importance of free speech. Like many campuses, our campus has a lot of dialogue underway right now. We're going to be hosting a panel discussion around free speech later this semester, inviting experts to come in and having students participate in that panel. And then we're bringing a constitutional scholar to campus in the fall who specializes in the First Amendment and has written a wonderful book about free speech on campus. And the bottom line is we are supportive of free speech. We want to prepare our students for the future. We want to be exemplary in how they tackle the thorny issues around free speech and disagreement. And if you think about it, UTSA can be a wonderful laboratory to learn how to be civically engaged with folks that you may not agree with or who may have speech components that are challenging to hear and to think about. And I'd like to think that UTSA can become exemplary in how we prepare our students to go out into the world, and that includes understanding the notion that free speech is a constitutionally amended a right and responsibility that we have to pay attention to.
Earlier, you talked about how the university is going to be tasked with becoming more, I said, economically independent from the UT entire structure. You got to do more fundraising on your own. You can make more decisions on your own about what to do with the resources that you have. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So most institutions of our size, who are a little bit older than we are, we're a young institution. We're only 49 years old, and so we're still in our growth curve as we evolve into becoming a more mature discovery enterprise, a more mature community-engaged enterprise, and especially a more mature educational enterprise. And so some of the things that we have to do in preparation for this maturation is we have to bring into our practices on campus best practices for financial management and budgeting and planning and resource allocation and expense management. And so we have a big task force underway. We've brought in a consultant who specializes in this, and most of the more mature R1 research universities in the country have already adopted this strategy of how you have a sort of a distributed budget model, a diversified budget model that allows more autonomy in the colleges and more fundraising and expense control, more resource generation and expense control. And so we're just adopting a best practice that pretty much everybody else has that we have not yet done so, and we're going to be doing that in the coming year. And this will give us a lot more flexibility about how we decide to manage revenue generation and expense control.
The number to call in if you've got a question or comment for President Amy, the president of the University of Texas at San Antonio, 210-614-8980. So we've been mentioning the R1 research university status. What area of focus do you really want that to cover?
Well, what we're rather than discussing or using this notion of Tier 1 as sort of the benchmark, we stepped back and adopted six themes, and these six themes are going to be our guiding principles as we go forward. And one of the most important, I would say, models that we're going to look to is the University of California has a number of institutions like UC Riverside, UC Santa Cruz, UC Santa Barbara, who are all a little bit older than us. They're 60 to 65 years old. And over the course of a 10-year period or so, they have transformed those institutions, and they've remained Hispanic-serving or Hispanic-thriving while becoming really, really excellent discovery enterprises with capabilities and expertise in the faculty that are world-renowned. And we have that exact same opportunity to become that if we focus. And one of the things that we're going to focus on are the things that we're going to be best at and best in class at. And cybersecurity is one such example. Biomedicine is another example. There'll be others that we're going to grow and develop as we evolve as a university. But those developing those strategies and acquiring excellence in those areas and recruiting faculty to come to UTSA who are in those domains are part of where we need to go to become equivalent to these universities in the University of California system.
So excellence in cybersecurity, it's right there on your front page of the website for UTSA as something that you guys are really focusing on. Can you talk more?
Sure. This is a wonderful ecosystem here in San Antonio because the federal government has located a number of assets to help the nation's cybersecurity platform or focus, and whether it's defensive cybersecurity or offensive cybersecurity. So we have a number of federal agencies that are here. And as an R1 aspiring institution, we have, three centers right now and probably 70 or 80 faculty that are deeply involved in various aspects of cybersecurity. So in the grand scheme of things, that's a density of expertise that is very, very special and transformative for us. Not a lot of other institutions have that degree of density of excellence, and so we're going to take advantage of that in the partnerships that we have. The federal presence here is attracting the private sector who support the federal activities in cybersecurity, and we're partnering deeply with them. But right now, we already have federal partners on campus in our cybersecurity operations working with us on research and development and training and future workforce development opportunities. So we're very fortunate to have these partners here in San Antonio between the federal government and the contractor community and the big the corporate world that's migrated here to do cybersecurity here. We're sitting in a very rich environment to grow and differentiate ourselves compared to other Texas institutions or institutions across the nation. So it's a hot topic for us.
So do you talk with the Chamber of Commerce or the City of San Antonio leaders trying to say this is where we need to focus and this is what comes up?
We do. So we have a big push with the San Antonio Chamber about cybersecurity. We are deeply connected to all of the players in San Antonio, the private sector, the public sector, the federal sector. We are very connected about where we're taking our program and where we want to go with it. And we're getting a lot of input that's related to curriculum development about how we're going to be acquiring faculty that specialize in certain areas. So it's a very robust and rich partnership that we have. And it's a wonderful example of community engagement with university engagement. On the biomedicine side, what's very interesting is that San Antonio is also very strong in this. And I've had the great pleasure of working closely with my counterparts at Southwest Research Institute, at Texas Biomed, at UT Health San Antonio, and with Brooks Army and what the DOD is doing around trauma surgery and tissue regeneration. And so we have a bunch of areas of focus in the biomedical space around personalized medicine, around brain health, around obesity and diabetes, around infectious diseases, around this notion of tissue regeneration. So we're already collaborating in a deep way here in San Antonio with our sister institutions, and we're going to continue to do that. And that's a wonderful collaboration to explore, too.
But there's also been a lot of people talking about how good UTSA is at helping bring ideas to the marketplace or the entrepreneurial side of the biomedicine.
We do. We have a very strong tech transfer program in our Office of Research, and we're very connected to the growing downtown culture and with 8020 Foundation and Geekdom around startups. Some of the startups that are downtown are actually out of UTSA and UTSA students, which is very exciting to see. And one of the programs we're going to put down at the downtown campus is going to be related to entrepreneurship and innovation. We're going to bring back and create a school or an institute to do that.
Well, so entrepreneurship and innovation, they say you can't teach that stuff. You got to be born with it.
Yeah. But there are a lot of young people out there that are going to be students at UTSA that are wired that way, and we just have to tap into them and connect with them.
Okay. And so with the biomedical part of the operation at UTSA, do you think you're going to be able to find a cure for cedar fever? Because it looks like you got some.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I have to get to the
Did they tell you about that when you were a candidate for school?
No one warned me about this. Yeah, sorry.
It depends person to person. Yeah. And so we're speaking with the president of the University of Texas at San Antonio, Taylor Amy. He is looking for ways to bring UTSA into the next challenges that we have here in our community and also nationwide and globally. He is a expert in economic and in environmental engineering. And so, and do you think that's going to be something that we need to be paying attention to going into the future?
Yeah. What's interesting as a new person here in San Antonio is that I've had a chance to bring my own version of fresh eyes. Having grown up in New England and spent time at the University of New Hampshire, then at Texas Tech, and then at University of Tennessee, in all of my prior positions, I was very focused on ecosystem development and how to grow business, university, government university, industry relations, and there's a lot of opportunity for that here in San Antonio. So it's going to be a big focus of ours.
Okay, we're going to be coming back from another break. Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Taylor Amey is the president of the University of Texas at San Antonio. He is the new leadership there. If you got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And PJ is on the line. And PJ, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
This is PJ Casey. Just had a few questions for the new president. Also, welcome to UTSA San Antonio.
Thank you, PJ.
I had a question about facilities, as well as the athletic department and how or what your future plan is and how that could add to marketing and also more people attending UTSA.
Yeah, that's a great question. On my first day on the job here at UTSA, I had a chance to visit with Red McCombs, and we had a pretty
the first day.
Yeah, first day.
They brought you straight to Red.
No, it was at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, but it was important to go see him because his passion reflects for athletics at universities reflects, I think, a passion that many in the community have. And you have to remember, UTSA is a pretty young university at 49 years old. Our athletic department is maybe, I don't know, I think something like 20 years old or 15 years old. It's not that old as a component of the institution. But I've been at places where athletics is the front porch to the university. And these are at institutions that are highly regarded, that are R1 institutions, and athletics, especially when the institution's a bit older. And I've been at some institutions that are over 200 years old where athletics is just very integral to student life and alumni engagement and fundraising. And I think that that's in our future, and how we get there is going to require careful thought and planning, and it's going to require some new facilities. We desperately need a basketball facility that works for our men's and women's basketball team, our volleyball team. We also need a football and athletics facility to bring our facilities into the modern age. We have really, really dysfunctional facilities right now for athletics. And despite the success of our athletics programs, we are not really where we need to be, especially when you think about some of the competition in our conference, Conference USA. So we will be launching a capital projects a master planning effort that will include athletics master planning. We are going to be launching a capital campaign for athletics. We're going to also be launching a capital campaign for the university sometime in 2019, perhaps. But our efforts to fundraise to support athletics is going to become a very prominent feature for us to allow us to continue to explore this notion that athletics is a wonderful front porch to the university. I've seen athletics work well, and I've seen it drive interest in the university, interest in applications, interest in alumni giving, and I think that's part of our equation as we move forward here in San Antonio.
And do you think you'll keep playing football at Alamo Dome?
Well, you know, I find it to be a pretty interesting venue, especially here in this part of Texas. I think our days of our arrangements and contract to be there are rather long term, and I find it to be a perfectly fine place to have play football. We got to work on how we get our students and our fans there. That's going to be a big push for us. And you know, someday we may have a stadium of our own, but that's if that's in my lifetime, that will be a remarkable feat of charity and donation and fundraising. I think our near-term future is really tied to the Alamo Dome. And I have to admit, I was at the Final Four on Saturday. I'm going again tonight, and I just fantasize about the notion of when can we see 70,000 of our own fans at football games. That's the thing I think we have to focus on.
Back to the phone lines with Christopher. And Christopher, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with President Amy.
Thanks. I appreciate you taking my call. Just really briefly, I heard mention earlier of making UTSA a successful institution. I'm finishing up my doctorate doing some research on higher education, specifically on outcome measures. So something like GPA or the concurrence of the degree, what is the real-world applicability of that? Do our clinicians graduate and actually have clinical skills that affect people, technology, and so forth? I was just curious, are there any traditions that you're looking to upset at UTSA to provide more clinically applicable or real-world applicable skills?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's being discussed at various levels here in Texas and nationally and actually globally. And there's a delicate balance that's at play here. We were going to chat earlier about this notion of degree conferral and whether our students are getting jobs when they get out. They are, and they do this whether they're a business major, a STEM major. They're also getting jobs as English majors and fine arts majors, and a university has to be excellent in what it does. And I think the world is going to pivot in the future around hiring critical thinkers, and they can come from all disciplines. It doesn't have to be just business or engineering or whatever. And there are forcing functions that are out there about how we are paid by the state to through formula funding to produce students that are going to go out and help the Texas economy or the San Antonio economy. And the state and the legislature are looking at modifications to that process of providing formula funds that are going to be more outcome-based. And so we're expecting perhaps some corrections or modifications to the formula that the state uses to fund higher education that will be more outcomes-based. And so we have a chance to contribute to that discussion and shape the University of Texas system. Will want to help shape the discussions there, but we're all preparing for the day when more outcomes-based funding is part of the equation that drives how the state invests in us. And we're going to want to do those same things ourselves. I mean, it's difficult to talk to a family on the West Side with an income below $40,000 and look at student debt and not having an opportunity to work and have gainful employment after graduation. It's not fair to the student or the family who are very debt risk averse. And we need to pay attention to this whole notion of cradle to career. And the back end of that is, how do we place our students? How are they gainfully employed? Are they contributing to society? We have to pay attention to that too.
Got an email from Shireem. I am a UTSA grad student studying urban and regional planning. Right now, we are the status of accreditation for American Institute for Certified Planners. However, we have an issue of not having a faculty to become accredited, and becoming accredited would allow this program to have increased enrollment. Any plans for new faculty for the new urban and regional planning program?
Part of the focus of our six themes that are driving where we're going includes this notion of being an urban engaged exemplary university. In the specific case of the person raising the question just now, that's a matter that the departments and the department chair and the dean will need to bring forward as an advocacy. But I would say this, that our focus here in San Antonio is going to be very much around being urban engaged, and there's a whole continuum of examples of what that means. And the city is going to need public policy folks and planning folks, urban planning folks, and that's a department and a program that should have a bright future relative to the needs here in San Antonio. So specifically, that would be something that the department chair and the provost would tackle.
Universities frequently tap their alumni for giving and also for leadership and inspiring and mentoring. What's your relationship with your alumni?
We have a fabulous group of alums. We have about 120,000 living alums right now, which is, again, a modestly large number given the size of our institution and the age of our institution. We have a great alumni council. I meet with them a lot. We're about to go and do a number of visits across Texas with our alumni council, our admissions folks, our development folks. We're going to be visiting the Valley, Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, West Coast, East Coast, Washington, D.C., to connect with our alumni groups. We're growing our alumni chapters. We're working on increasing our membership in our alumni association. Our alumni are our future, and we're going to be rebranding and sort of telling a new story about the university, and it's going to be very focused on our successful alumni. They're everywhere. I walk around the city and chat with folks, and I meet so many accomplished individuals here in the city who are giving back to the city and are deeply civically engaged, and they're UTSA alums. They're everywhere. So I think there's a lot of celebrating we can do as we start to look to the future and growing the university and turning to our alumni for help and celebrating their accomplishments.
Since becoming the president of UTSA 6 months ago, President Amy, what surprised you?
What surprised me, I think, the most was this notion that the city is just really wanting the institution to thrive and grow and become this excellent university that does education well, that does community engagement well, and does discovery well. And I have yet to encounter a person that doesn't think otherwise. It's really remarkable that there's so much support out in the community for where UTSA needs to go and wants to go. And I'm very lucky and fortunate to have so many folks outside of the institution who are committed. There's a lot of commitment supporting this inside the institution, but it's a pleasant thing to learn that the entire community here is so supportive of where UTSA wants to go.
And what do you want people to know? I mean, you say rebranding to what in 30 seconds?
I think we're going to be pitching two notions very, very much. One is this notion that as a multicultural institution, we are going to be a Hispanic thriving discovery enterprise like a University of California research university. There are a number out there as examples. And we are going to be exemplary in how we engage the community as we move forward, that we're going to treat San Antonio as our living laboratory, and we're going to be there to solve societal grand challenges that San Antonio needs help with.
Taylor Amy is the president of the University of Texas at San Antonio, telling us about his vision for the university. And thank you so much for joining us.
David, thank you. And thank you for the Fiesta Medal. It's looking good. I'm going to put it on as soon as I walk out of the studio.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.